dozens and dozens of OCC videos. And I think it's getting to be one of my favorites, simply because I don't know if you really understood the full message of what she said. There was a little blip in there that said, God gave me hands. And without arthritis. Now, that's a blessing at 100. She said she'll be 101 in October. This is October. So if she's still alive, she's 101. Because that was done earlier in the year, that video. But the reality is, the message is, God gave. Not only did he give us his son and his grace, but he gave us a physical body. And he created a physical body for one purpose, for his pleasure, not our pleasure. And I see so many folk that use their physical body for pleasure, their pleasure. And I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who we know from reading from him, he was a radical dude. Even before he met the Lord, he was a bad boy, he was a radical dude. That was his personality. But when he came to know the Lord, his passion for the gospel, the passion to serve the Lord, the passion to worship the Lord through his physical body was enormous. Why? Well, first of all, this newfound faith in Christ overwhelmed him. It was something he never experienced before. God's love, God's grace. And that overwhelmed him. And that gave him a passion for the gospel. And when you read his life, read the books he wrote in the Bible, that was his passion, to know Christ and make him known. That's our motto at our church in Nanaimo there. We have the banners up, to know Christ and to make him known. The other thing that Paul realized was that he could not contain the love of Christ just to himself. He had to, in some form, some way, reach out, because God is all powerful. And when God comes into our lives, the only response is we have to tell someone. Anyone. And that should be what God has created us for, to be an ambassador here on earth, to worship and praise him and experience his love and grace so much that we can't contain it. We have to share it with others. But the final reason why Paul was so fanatical is because he realized one day he is going to be accountable. We are going to be accountable for all that we do here. And if we don't use it for the Lord, we don't worship the Lord, we don't accept his grace, we're accountable for that. And the Apostle Paul was accountable, and he knew it. And that's the form that we should take, that God's love is so abundant, so great, that we can't contain it. We have to share it. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power unto salvation. Operation Christmas Child is our theme today, but I want to give you a little perspective of the whole goings-on around the world. Samaritan's Purse is the granddaddy of the organization. When I signed up, yes, I signed up with Operation Christmas Child, but on the form, it said, you are joining Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse, the big daddy, has projects below it. And some of these projects you may know of, but I'm going to go through this little list of projects that Samaritan's Purse does. East Africa Response Crisis, Middle East Crisis, Human Trafficking, Women's Program, Hurricane Relief, Water Sanitization, Feeding Program, Health and Medical, Disciple Education Training, Crisis Disaster Response Relief, Construction Projects, Children's Ministries, Animal Agriculture Livelihood, Healing of Patriots, Children's Heart Project, Home Academy, International Response, World Medical Vision, U.S. Relief Disasters. And finally, another one of their projects is Operation Christmas Child. And 5 years ago, they took on another project in response with Operation Christmas Child, and that is The Greatest Journey. Every child who receives a box is offered this. It is a 12-lesson course done up by Samaritan's Purse, Billy Graham Association. And the child can take that, and they can do what they want with it. They're not forced to take it. It is not put in the boxes. They quite often hand this out later after the boxes. Certain occasions, they give it with the box, just because of location and time and whatever. But generally, they ask them to come back, and they hand out this course, and they go through that course. Now, this course, they're actually coming out with a Canadian version for Sunday school. But this course talks, first of all, about who we are as humans and who God is. Then it gets into depth about receiving Christ as their personal Savior. And at the end, the final section is spreading the gospel. And in the back, or they're given a card, and they have to write down 9 people, once they've committed their life to Christ, 9 people that they are to share the gospel with and pray into the kingdom. 9. That's a lot of people. To give you a scope of it all, every 15 minutes, 328 people, children, hear the gospel. Every 15 minutes, 126 enroll in the Greatest Journey. Every 15 minutes, 92 graduate and finish the course. Every 15 minutes, 59 children accept Christ and are committed to praying for 9 family members or friends. And that's every 15 minutes, 585 people. Round the clock. Round the clock. Last year, worldwide, Samaritan's Purse collected almost 11 million shoeboxes. They've now reached 146.8 million. They're almost all the way around the equator, bumper to bumper. Samaritan's Purse offers the greatest journey in more than 70 languages, reaching more than 100 countries. Almost 11 million children have enrolled in the greatest journey. 4.4 million children have accepted Christ through the greatest journey. That's a big project when you stop and think about it. Because you need a lot of teachers, right? So far, they have trained globally 525,000 teachers to teach the greatest journey. It's not a small project. And that's just one of Samaritan's Purse projects. I read you all those other ones. It's absolutely astounding. I mean, when you get into the other ones, 725 short-term healthcare workers, they actually just recently bought their own DC-8 jet that was in the scrapyard in New Mexico, rebuilt it, and they're flying out last year 227 tons of supplies. Operation Christmas Child has been going now for over 20 years. I've only been in it 5 years. And since I've been in it, when I started, every 10th box represented a child coming to Christ. 5 years later, because of the greatest journey, we're almost every 5th box. The reason being is because the gospel, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to stand in the way. Is Operation Christmas Child having a major effect? Well, I don't know if you saw that video a couple of years ago of the little girl who got the shoebox and came to know the Lord. Her dad was a drunk and beat up his wife a lot. And the little girl said, Dad, you're coming to church this Sunday with me. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Well, if you're not going to come to church, I am going to stop eating. She was serious. Watching her little girl starting to fade, he said, fine, I'll come to church if you start eating again. Yes, Daddy. He came to church and he met the Lord. His wife met the Lord. And that was kind of the end of the video. 2 years later, they went back into that village to find this family, only to find out that that little girl, had witnessed to so many people and led them to Christ. They started a church. And not only did that church blossom so much, they planted a second church. And that man who was the drunk was now one of the elders in the first church. That's a small story. Let's start getting into a bigger story. Nicaragua. Crime, a lot of crime. The mayor noticed one day in one of the cities that the crime rate was dropping. He looked at all the statistics. And he noticed that age group, kind of like the 18 to 25 group, the crime rate was dropping. And they couldn't figure out why. And they kind of did their studies, and they realized that this age group, a lot of this age group in that area, was bombarded by shoeboxes 12 years earlier, 14 years earlier. And so many kids had come to Christ that when they grew up, they didn't want to do crime. So it's dropping the crime rate. A mayor in another city said, "We noticed that too." In doing their investigation, they also traced it back to the shoeboxes. And it's actually affecting the statistics of the country, where you're getting to the point where you're actually starting to affect a country. Now, I know many people say, "Oh, yeah, shoebox season again, here we go, you know, blah, blah." No, that's not the mentality we need. I like the Mr. Blackberry, who does the Blackberry series. I don't know if any of you have taken it. But he's got a quote in there. And he says, "As a Christian, if you're not sure what to do, find out where God is working and join in. Don't try and reinvent something that isn't there or start something unless God has called you to do it. He may have that down the road." But the whole series is on knowing God and being involved. And like this 100-year-old, now 101-year-old lady says, "God gave me." What's our response? What should our response be? Here they are, Lord. What else are we to do but to respond back to a God who loves us, who gave us not only his Son and grace, but a life, a heart, lungs, fingers, feet, to use for him. And when we do that, it's not come Sunday morning and raise our hand and say we're now worshiping God. It's a matter of lifestyle, of shaping our lives, giving back to God all our calories that we burn. That's worshiping him. That's giving him what he is worth. The worship of giving back to him and showing that our lives are what really counts. I know that Operation Christmas Child has got a lot of negativity out there, and you can read it on the internet. But it's not an organization. Yes, God uses an organization just as he uses a church building. Chairs, a pulpit, a mic. They're all tools. But what God really wants is us. Not just part of us. When we sing that song, "I Surrender All," I'll confess, I struggle. Because that little word, A-L-L, is a big word. All. All of what? All of our dreams, all of our goals, all of our ambitions, all of our time, all of our money. Do we really surrender all? Or just a portion? God says, "I gave you life. I gave you ability. Are we using it for his glory? Are we being children of obedience?" Because God has a hard time working through us when we're disobedient. I know my sister, God bless her, but she spent 30 years going around the self-centered block in life, only to come back and say, man, I wasted 30 years. And she paid a dear price for it, boy. And if she was standing here today, boy, she would let you know that what a waste she had for 30 years. But God does not give up on her. He doesn't give up on me, and he won't give up on you. Because he is constantly, constantly calling us to come and give our lives, everything. I remember years ago I was on Operation Mobilization, and I was traveling down to Naples, Italy, and on the way back, a gal from Seattle, she was sitting on the stairs outside the complex where we're sleeping, just weeping. And I said, Valeria, what's the matter? She said, here I am. I left my job. I left my family. I left everything I had, sold my car to come out here. I forsook everything. And she said, I feel God wants me to give more. She said, I don't know what more to give. I've given everything. I've surrendered everything. And I says, well, what are you going to do? She says, I don't know. I says, well, you got to do something. She says, yeah, I think I'll just go back and get my car back and my job back and get my nursing training, and I'll do this and I'll do that. And I says, maybe God wants you to forsake that. Your dreams, your goals, your ambitions. And if you think she was crying then, she cracked. When we got back to our base, I found out that she did not go back home. She went on the Dulos ship for 2 years. Because God doesn't want just part of us. He wants everything. Every dream, every goal, every moment of our life. That's why he created us and gave us good health. I know some are probably saying, you don't know my oohs and ahs in life. And I know there are some. My mom is in a home in the Nanaimo there, 92. In a wheelchair, but she prays every day. She goes through her prayer book, her list of people that she prays for. Until her hands stopped working, she used to get postcards and put verses on a language in Africa, Nigeria, and send them out. She did something until she no longer could. And do we have that mentality that we're going to do whatever we can until we can't do it anymore? Like this lady? Are we going to be in that position where we say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why should we? And shouldn't we look at ourselves and say, thank you, Lord, that somebody told me about the gospel? Are we not that thankful that God gave us a new life in Christ? So much like the Apostle Paul, that we would want to have that passion to tell someone else. Now, I know we're not all evangelists. I know we don't all do street work. We don't all feel comfortable going, knocking door to door. But we can do something. There was a couple in Abbotsford a few years ago. They felt compelled to do shoeboxes. So they started doing shoeboxes. And then they had some friends that said, what are you doing? And they said, well, this is what we're doing. We're packing shoeboxes. So they said, we want you to come over for supper. Don't bring any food. We'll supply it. But I want you to bring the list, the stuff for a shoebox. So they started doing that. another couple joined in. And once a week, they'd get together, bring stuff they bought throughout that week, and pack a shoebox. The kitchen table got too small, so they moved to their garage. That got too small. They're now in a building in Abbotsford, and they do over 6,000 boxes a year. Why? Because they said, Lord, here's my house. Here's my kitchen table. You can have it. We'll use it for whatever reason you want. And if you want us to pack shoeboxes till we're out of space, we'll go to the garage. It's your garage, Lord. You gave it to us. And when that's done, the Lord provided. A businessman said, here's a warehouse. And they're doing hundreds, thousands of boxes every year. Is it because they have a big bank account? No. It's because God is working in people's lives. Rick Cochran was our BC director. And by the way, John, I'm not responsible for BC. I'm only responsible for Shawnigan Lake up to Port Alice. Rick is responsible for the province. But the collection center last year in Abbotsford, the boxes were coming in, and there was a group of East Indian guys standing over there. They kept seeing all these cars coming in, unloading all these boxes. What's going on? So one of the guys, brave enough, went over and said, what's going on? So they told him. Okay. So away he went. A little bit later, they came back. Here's $1,000. They're not even Christians. But they're helping to spread the gospel. I had a teacher in Nanaimo here who was not a Christian, trust me. But he would show the videos. He's now retired. But he would show the OCC videos in the school and do the shoeboxes. He says, I don't care about this religious stuff. I just want the kids to get education material. You remember the story in the Bible how God used the donkey to speak? God can use non-Christians. Like when Moses left Israel, where did they get their bank account from? The bad Egyptians. They gave all the gold. They gave all the stuff. God's not limited. If he can create galaxies, surely he can create a passion in me for the gospel. Surely he can use a non-Christian to help spread the gospel. God's not limited. He's not in a box. We're in the box. And sometimes by our faith, we put God in a box, when really we're putting ourselves in the box. But the Bible says so clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we fill shoeboxes just to fill shoeboxes and don't believe that that child is going to come to Christ, what good is our faith? What good is our faith in doing what God has given us? We're to live by faith, as the song said. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. God is the God who made us and gave us everything that we have and are and do. And should we not use everything we have to give back to him? The widow's mite. Everything. I don't care if you're a millionaire, a billionaire, or on welfare, or whatever. Doesn't matter. What God wants is everything that we have and everything that he's given us. And the only reason he's given it to us is to give back. And that's one reason why I'm so excited about Operation Christmas Child, is because it's an opportunity to give back in a practical way. I have not gone down south to hand out shoeboxes, but I have talked to people that have. And I tell you, it's changed their life. I know the one person said they went to a center and they were handing out these boxes, and it was a room like this, and there were 300 and some kids in it. Not a single place for one of the parents to come in and see what was going on. But they were outside, and they were so excited about it. And when the kids came out, Mommy, I want to do this. And while they were standing outside, one of the workers had the opportunity to share the gospel. And many of the parents out there gave their life to Christ while they were handing out shoeboxes. And it is so amazing, and I don't know what the statistics are, but I do know that a large amount of those 525,000 who have been trained to teach the greatest journey are not just adults. There's a video of a boy who's 14 years old, goes around teaching the greatest journey. He's not ashamed of the gospel. God gave him legs and he walks village to village to village teaching the greatest journey. And God is going to bless him. Because one day when he is accountable for what God has given him, God is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord." Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we, as God's children, really, really want? To hear those words and not stand there and go, "Yeah, I know. I didn't. I was. I'm sure we all have times in our life where we didn't give God what we should have. I know my sister, she cries every time she thinks of it. Because she knows she's going to stand before the Lord and go, "I know, I wasted 30 years. But praise God, she's making up for it. And boy, is she bold. She's been trained to come up to you and say, "Give me your testimony in 5 minutes. And she'll do it. And if you can't do it, she's going to say, "Are you sure you're a Christian?" She's down in Florida. And I tell you, she's bold. She doesn't mix her words. She's a lot bolder than I am. But praise the Lord. She's trying to make up for lost time, and God bless her for that. And I'm sure the Lord will do what he can. But Operation Christmas Child is something that we can all do. And you know what I find? Is every time I pour my life into it, God gives me a peace and a joy and happiness to the point where I say, "I want to do more." But be warned, when you say, "Lord, I want more," you get more. I just found out recently that there's a new gal in Calgary office, and she looks after the logistics, the trucking and everything. And she asked me to look after all the trucking from Shawnigan Lake to Port Alice. Okay. So now I'm dealing with that. As you notice coming in, there's a table at the back of items, and all those items on there are items that can go in the boxes. We in Nanaimo have started, done a project for a number of years now, which is unique to the country. And that is where we've collected money from folk, $10. We can actually pack a box for $10. And the reason we can do that is because we grew in Nanaimo so much as far as that supplies that we actually were doing so much money buying stuff from the wholesalers where the dollar stores buy them and putting it into shoeboxes because of all that. We actually legally had to open a business with the city and with the province. And we opened up a business so that in order, because when you go to these wholesalers, you can't order from them unless you are a business. So we get the product in at a reduced rate. We help other people with that. Parksville came to us and bought hundreds of dollars worth because they had a huge fundraiser. In a few weeks, we're going to Ladysmith, and they do something unique there. I bring all the stuff, and they've raised all the money. And after the service, they go out there and they start packing about 130, 150 boxes right after the service. And the kids come out because they've raised money and during Sunday school, and they just get out there and start packing. And it's quite organized chaos. But they look forward to it every year. And we're hoping in Nanaimo soon. We're praying very hard for space. We are out of space for all this stuff. And I was talking to a fella yesterday from another church, and we're looking for hopefully one day to have an OCC center of some sort in Nanaimo here on the island. Because everybody comes to us like John does for more boxes, more leaflets, more this, more that. So we keep a stock of stuff year-round, and people are coming year-round for more supplies for the boxes, more this, more that. And we're just out of room, and we're just crying out to the Lord to open up some place that we can have more space, more room. And eventually, we hope one day to actually open a store for the business to help us in that area. We're moving forward bit by bit, but we're saying, like that couple in Abbotsford, here's our house, here's our garage, use it, Lord. Because we want God to be glorified in everything we do. Yes, we've made mistakes. I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't made a mistake. And we learn from our mistakes. But like the Apostle Paul says, press on forward. Run the race. Don't give up. Keep going. The Lord is going to return. And you're going to be accountable for what we do. Don't give up, though. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But God is going to use us if we're willing to give ourselves in whatever way possible. And maybe you find yourself not with Operation Christmas Child. Maybe you're with OM or YWAM or some other organization. Or maybe you're with a group in China or whatever. It doesn't matter. But like Mr. Blackberry says, find out where God's working and join in. Find out where he's working. That's the key. That's why he has the Bible. That's why he gave us his word so we can learn about it and have the Holy Spirit come in and lead us and guide us so that we can really, really know his will. Not just for our church, but for our individual lives. And God will He promises that when we surrender all, He will lead us, He will guide us into what He wants us to do. When we give back to Him everything that He's given to us. I know in the Operation Christmas Child is making huge leaps right now in the Middle East. I talked to Randy Crossan, who's the head of Operation Christmas Child Canada. And he said these refugee camps, he says the UN has refugee camps, Samaritan's Purse has refugee camps. And he says they're refugee camps. He says they go in there, they give them the shoeboxes, and they talk about Jesus. And he said it is amazing how many people, when you talk about Jesus to these Muslims, they start telling you about a dream. And the next person goes, I had the same dream. And a person over there says, I had the same dream. And the same dream is going throughout the Middle East of Jesus. And they're saying, yes, Lord, I want Jesus. They're actually in Costa Rica. The children were so enthusiastic about the greatest journey. They went to their school teachers and said, we want you to help teach us this course. And to make a very long story short, they're teaching the greatest journey in the public school system. You're not just affecting a child's life when you pack a shoebox. That shoebox is only an opportunity to share the gospel. It's a gospel opportunity. But when you do it on such a large scale with the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't just change a child's life or a parent's life or the statistics of a city. You start changing a country. When you start pouring thousands and thousands of gospel opportunities into a country, and Rick, our provincial leader, he was down there and he saw this and he says, excuse me? You're teaching a biblical Bible course in the public school system? Yeah. Why? Well, when the children come to Christ, they come to school with a different mentality. They come to school thanking God, praying, respecting their teachers. They have hope. They have peace. And they have joy. In Canada, the kids go to school depressed, talk about sex, drugs, alcohol, and commit suicide. We do not want to be like Canada. That hurts. And the boxes are not just a gospel opportunity down there. It's a gospel opportunity here. To tell people, this is what I do. Why are you filling these boxes? Because God's love. And they talk about it. I've shared a couple of times with people, and it's like, okay, wow, I didn't know that. And so many churches do the boxes, but they don't understand the scope of what goes on behind scenes, the end result. And what they're not seeing is that the boxes are actually a gospel opportunity to talk to someone here in Canada. I talked to the gal at the dollar store. She goes, wow. You know? And when you're talking to somebody and they, you know, they say, oh, yeah, but, you know, life's tough. Can I pray for you? Seriously? I had a girl come to our church one day for a food hamper when we were giving out food hampers. And she gave her a food hamper, and she said, "Oh, thank you." And I says, "Can I pray for you?" She stopped and looked at me like, "Okay." I prayed for her. She wept. She says, "Nobody has ever cared for me that much to pray a prayer like that." Why? I don't know. But when we give our lives to God, that's what the Apostle Paul says. I'm compelled to share the gospel. And when we give our all, that's when we glorify God. That's when we worship Him, not just Sunday morning, but throughout the week. To God be the glory. Great things He has done, and great things He is doing and going to do through Operation Christmas Child. Now, I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I hope this morning something inside says, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Even if it's in my own community." God bless. Thank you.